how do you balance the necessities of life with pursuing your life's purpose, your creative impulse, or your art? Or to put it another way, how do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life? I'm Brian Kam, and you are speaking to Clear Story. I'm hoping that you will submit your reflections on what I see to be a fundamental tension between doing what we feel we must in terms of living a meaningful life and what we have to do just to stay alive. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot in the last few years. As background, about 5 years ago, I had saved enough money to leave permanent employment. So I was working full-time in finance, and that did not leave me a lot of time to pursue my creative goals. For the past 5 years, I have been setting my own schedule, coming up with my own goals, and pursuing them, which on the one hand is living the dream. On the other hand, it's required a lot of effort, and at times it's been very tough. And that's because I'm a very social person. I need to be around people. And so even before the pandemic, I was engineering all these kind of routines. I run a book club. I run a discussion group in central London. And of course, I've hosted many inter-intellect salons, both online and offline. But during this time, if I wanted to see anyone, I pretty much had to engineer it myself, which could be quite exhausting. And at times it was lonely. I had no real external motivations of the normal kind, meaning no money, no prestige, no status, no interest for most of it. At times I did have collaborators for brief periods of the project that I was working on. That started out as a novel and has since morphed into a work of philosophy, which I'm calling Neither Nor, and which you can find out about on this podcast. I have decided in the past few months to take a break, which ironically means getting a job and going into permanent employment again. And that's just to get some kind of stability of routine and being able to see people face to face, that kind of thing. And so it looks like I'm returning to full-time employment, and I have very mixed feelings about that. So right now, I'm asking you to record at least 5 minutes, but it can be as long as you want, reflecting on this question as I shift gears and attempt to juggle my own life's work with making some kind of income. I'm wondering how you have navigated this tension. I'd love it if you could share your name, where you're from, where you're living now, and what you do, both in terms of your life's purpose as you see it and what you do day to day. I'm very curious if these things are in tension for you or if they're not. So for example, if you're doing creative work and making a living from it, I would love to hear about that. If you are working full-time but doing something creative on the side, or you've devoted your life to what you see as your life's purpose and now you are struggling financially or otherwise to meet the demands of life. And this does not need to be some kind of grand artistic project. It could be raising a family or starting a company or doing volunteer work or spreading a message. It could be anything, just whatever you consider your purpose. And of course, you could also still be figuring that out. So maybe you just need a bit of space away from work or school or whatever your day-to-day is in order to figure out what you want to do with your life. Any of those are fine. I'm very interested in getting completely open reflection. If you don't like any of the framings that I've given, just say whatever you want. And if you wish to remain anonymous, you also don't need to say anything about where you are or anything like that. Very happy for you to say as much or as little as you like. But I do invite you to kind of open up a bit and reflect for at least a few minutes. And if you go over, it's fine. I also invite you to share this invitation, which you can find at briankam.com/record. And this will be a way for anyone you send this link to hear this message and upload audio should they wish to. So if there's anyone in your life where you're curious how they answer this question or would like to hear about the tension that they've experienced, how they've made a success of it, or how they've potentially had problems with it, you can go too far in either direction, too rigid, which I've done working in finance, or too open in some sense, which I feel I've done. I think it's been massively beneficial to the project that I'm working on, but I'm also very, very tired and lonely and sad. So I'm very excited to hear your reflections on this topic. And so if you'd like to contribute, please go to briancam.com/record. And that link is also in the show notes. And so again, here's the question. How do you balance the necessities of life with pursuing your life's purpose, your creative impulse, or your art? How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
I'm Nassos Papadopoulos, and I'm a storyteller, writer, and interviewer. I don't balance doing meaningful work with making a living. I don't balance those things at all. I have tried to, but my impulse has always been to do periods of very intense creative work that is deeply meaningful to me, and periods of making money doing things that are not meaningful to me in order to make up for the cost of those creative periods and prepare for future periods. So that hasn't been a conscious decision, but it's been something that I seem to just have fallen into. When I decided not to go into a regular job in investment banking, I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to decide what I wanted to do and not have someone else decide it for me. And so I did a whole bunch of teaching, some of which paid really well and gave me the flexibility to run a lot of experiments. And I think everything that I've done from that period on has basically been some sort of version of that. Try and find some things that pay as well as possible and give myself as much space as I can to explore my creativity. The main channel for that has been the MetaLearn podcast, which I've been running for 7 years. And that started off as a project which I hoped would enable me to make passive income and make $5,000 a month that would enable me to pay bills, cover costs, and basically do whatever I wanted, and was crucially not linked as much to my time. So I love this idea of separating time from money. Now, what I found once I actually started doing the podcast and created an online course and tried to build an email list was that the process of creating was way more important to me than some abstract idea of making $5,000 a month. I was proud of the course that I made, but there were many forces that were blocking me from selling, which I'm now aware of. And I think the reason is that I don't want to sell something that I'm not 100% behind. And I was a 25, 26-year-old kid selling a course on learning how to learn. Had I done my research? Yes. Had I gone into cognitive science and neuroscience? Yes. Had I taught at a university and lectured there? Yes. Had I been to Oxford? Yes. Did I have credentials? Yes. But I was not experienced enough, and I was not in a place where it was actually my time to teach. And I was actually aware of that on some level. I couldn't articulate it at the time, but it was just this wall that once I sold the course and I made $10,000 and I projected into the future this idea of marketing and promoting and being on social media and hyping the course, I just on some level knew that I didn't have the energy to do that. And so where I ended up was doing media work for clients. So I like to think of what I do as telling stories for myself and helping other people tell theirs. So this helping other people tell theirs turned into me doing all kinds of media work for clients. Content marketing, podcasts, course creation, articles, video content, any form of media under the sun. And what I found was that I would get involved in these projects and they would start to drain me. They would start to consume a lot of energy and I would find it very hard to stay creatively inspired with my creative project, which was the podcast. And I banged my head against the wall so many times. I burned out so many times. I recently had another phase of doing exactly the same thing. It has been really fucking hard. I felt very alone for basically 10 years. The times that I didn't, where there were brief partnerships that helped me do creative work and helped me also do some of the other work, were the times that I both did my best creative work and made the most money, was when I was supported by another person that I respected. There was a lot of weight on those relationships because the other person was often in the same position. So there was a dependence there. And we're all dependent on each other, but I don't think it's healthy when you're entirely dependent on one person for both creative fulfillment and professional support. So that's one thing that I feel has been a significant lesson learned, is the importance of not being alone, the importance of working with others, but also of distributing that support over multiple people rather than just being totally dependent on one person. The other thing that I feel really strongly about is that I think people commercialize their creativity way too soon and they kill it. Because actually the creative process is a process of self-discovery and it's about figuring out who you are and what you have to say. And if you try to commercialize that before it's ready, what you're doing is basically killing dead a dynamic process that needs to unfold naturally and needs to run its course. Because while the podcast is not the greatest piece of art in history, nor is it the greatest piece of art I'll ever make, it's a piece of fucking art. Like, I put my heart and soul into that thing. And I did it with care and attention. And the times when I fucked it up by trying to interview the person with the big audience who was actually full of shit, I hated myself for it. So then I course corrected. So I ended up having the conversations that I wanted to have. And that process has led me to wanting to write more. And that writing process has started to move from nonfiction to fiction. And I've started to see what is possible in terms of saying things. And the process has helped me appreciate the visual arts and music and theater and drama and film in a way that I never would have thought was possible when I was in my teens and early 20s. So that's why the podcast is art, because it has turned me into an artist and someone who appreciates art. And that is way more fucking valuable than making $5,000 a month from an online course. It's way more valuable than any amount of money, because what happens is you keep doing your thing and you stay true to the process even when it feels really fucking hard and you think that you're going to give up and you want to give up so many times, but you weirdly have this thing that drives you on that means that you have to keep going. And eventually you start meeting other people who are wired in the same way that you are, and you start to help them and they start to help you, and you start to see that that's basically the whole point of everything, is by saying what you have to say, you're not just saying it into a vacuum. You end up saying it to the people that need to hear what you have to say. And there's a reflexive process where they end up being the people that tell you what you have to hear as well. So it just turns into one big beautiful conversation. And I think that the goal for me now is to be commercially successful, because I have big visions for what I want to do, and I actually have a lot of people in my life that I would like to support in different ways. Eventually, I would hope that that would be financial, as well as just emotional and in other ways as well, because I see so much resource out there and I see it being misallocated towards a bunch of fucking idiots who can't make good stuff, who don't have anything interesting to say, and who are basically just completely full of shit. And that's not their fault, but that's just the byproduct of basically playing the short game and trying to capture value too soon before something's ready. Because I just switch off when I hear these motherfuckers, because they don't have anything to say, because they haven't done the work. So I think the way that I'm now approaching it, after all these ups and downs and phases of burnout and thinking that I'm a fucking idiot and hating myself and wanting to delete everything that I've ever done, is actually just basically doing the same thing that I've always done, but just doing it with a bit more stability and really doing it with other people and doing it in a community, and thinking about not just making money for myself, but how can I make money to also like feed the creativity of the community? Because that's actually inspiring for me. It was not inspiring for me when I was trying to do it just for myself, so I could go to fucking South America and have a great time. That clearly wasn't inspiring me enough because I didn't do it. But the idea of making a lot of money from people who have a lot of resource, or getting hold of some of that resource and channeling it towards meaningful work for me, but also helping to support people around me, that is inspiring for me. And that is something that can get me out of bed in the morning. And that is something that can help me to overcome some of my super destructive and self-sabotaging tendencies that have basically plagued me for a whole decade. But I wouldn't have got to understand them and where they were coming from if I hadn't taken the leap of faith to go it alone, and to suffer, and to be fucked over by business partners that I trusted, and do bullshit work that I didn't want to do, and have conversations that I didn't want to have. So yeah, I guess the kind of final point in all of this is that I don't balance them, but I can do both with clear emphasis on what is art and what is business, and I can do it in service of something a lot greater than just me. I can do it in service of a message that's bigger than me, and I can do it in service of other messages that are around me that need to be shared and spread, and of people who are around me that I love and care about. So that's where I'm at. No balance.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
A lot of people seem to orient to this question by trying to find a compromise between the two positions. And I think this is often, or maybe usually, a mistake. I think that there are two separate skills with regard to creating a healthy, energetic container for the part of you that pursues your competitive advantage in the broader economy and social reality, and creating an energetic container for the expression of creative generativity. And I think that if you try to smash these two energetic containers together and get some sort of balance trade-off between them, that neither of them will go well, and this will cause quite a lot of suffering. And so I think the degree to which it feels like they have to be together is the degree to which a person does not feel resourced in these two skills, in terms of time or in terms of other mental skills around creating and maintaining those containers such that they are not leaky, that they are not getting worn down in their non-working time with work considerations, and also that they are not having constant intrusive thoughts about whether or not they are doing well in their creative pursuits when they are trying to accomplish their other goals. The skills I'm talking about are things like being able to notice what conditions and tools are helpful to you to maintain that energetic container, and noticing when it is leaking, when you're feeling emotionally drained based on some aspect of it, and being able to gently investigate and experiment with possible repairs to that energy leak until you're back to a container that feels good, that you can pour energy into those containers and have them coherently directed towards the separate goals of those two containers.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Hi, Brian. Thanks for your prompt. It's a really interesting prompt and something that I've thought a lot about myself. How do you balance all the various aspects of your life? My name's Jay, and I live in Nimbin in northern New South Wales, Australia. I'm originally a mixed-up European from Scotland and Mediterranean regions. In terms of work, I'm full-time at an Australian government agency called the CSIRO, which is basically Australia's national science agency. I've got a 15-year-old kid, 12-year-old kid, 7 acres to look after around that full-time work. And then because I'm a sucker for punishment, I also do some unpaid work on the side for the Pirate Party here in Australia, and that tends to suck up a lot of the time where I've got a little bit of mental energy or acuity, but I'm not at work. But I wouldn't personally classify that time that I spend working with the Pirate Party as creative or, you know, meaningful in the sense of creativity. So I guess the first part of my answer to the question of how I balance those things is that I use some forced creativity. I attend writing classes where we're given exercises, and then I spin the output from those classes into bigger and fuller works when I can. And I attend a drama club where we put on plays for the same reason, that that allows other people to provide external stimulus and then pushes me forward and gets the creative juices flowing. For example, I rewrote an act of the play that we're performing, which is Check Please by Jonathan Rand. And I've been experimenting quite a lot recently with just trying to knock out the, you know, creative and meaningful parts of my life early in the day when the coffee's coursing through the system and I haven't had the brain worn down by work and family and all those other demands. At the moment, I probably can afford to work a bit less, and it looks like my work will allow it. So I'll be cutting down to 4 days, and I'm going to try and ring fence at least 50% of that day that I cut out of my working week. We'll see how that goes, because that's a really good example of something that over time I've told myself I'd do and then failed to do over and over and over again. Possibly this is a case of, you know, the definition of madness is doing the same thing again and expecting a different result. But I feel like I'm at a phase in life where cutting work down and having a detailed plan to ring fence some of that time for creativity may actually work. In terms of how I feel that tension, my parents were both street musicians. So as someone who works professionally in an office job environment and then tries to do creative work outside of that with the remaining you know, energy and heart and time, that colours very deeply how I feel about that tension. It feels like I can never be in that, you know, mental space that my parents inhabited for decades, and that the little scraps of time that I put together for creativity are, you know, pretty much pathetic substitutes for the oceans of time that I saw my parents wallow in. But on the other hand, I've got more security than they had, and we'll see how time works out later in life. As I saw, you know, my mum, for example, pivot from that focus on creativity to more of a focus on security later in life. So, hope that answers your question in some interesting ways, and thank you for this prompt.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Hello, Brian. This is Quinn, and yeah, it is a beautiful questions of the balancing the necessities and of life and the creative pursuits. And yeah, and I'm tempted to point further that the underlying metaphor is a metaphor of the balance, right? And the balance is very clear, this side and that side, and they all come into this state of equilibrium. And of course, the deeper idea behind balance or equilibrium is the experience of dynamic equilibrium, which is a state of constant readjusting, dynamic, ever-changing, and yet equal at the same time, i.e. the yin and the yang. The yin is in the yang, and the yang is in the yin, and it's the dynamic between the stillness and movement. And of course, it's also the classic computer science questions of the dynamic interplay, a paradoxical interplay between explore versus exploit. Yeah. And the question that I sit with is that. It's how am I dancing today between these poles of creative and necessity, explore and exploit? And it depends on the day. It depends on the day. And concretely, I've tried various strategies. I try to, in the past, okay, I'm gonna do my creative thing until noon. And then in the afternoon, I'll do my thing. The thing that I have to do. And so I try to schedule all the calls, all the work delivery, so on, in the afternoon. That's one way. But recently, when I dig into this system called the human design, and I learn about my type, how I use my energy best for the world, as the lingo is called the manifesting generator, I learned that. The best way I would use my energy and tap into my resource energy, which is come from my sacral, my root, my deep gut sense all the time. It's like the never-ending generator of energy, is that I will need to wait for a response, like a green light. Deep in my gut, it's a hell yes. Because if when it's not clear, if the energy come from the head or somewhere else, it is not sustainable. It will burn me out eventually. So I really need to listen to that hell yes from the gut. And sometimes it come from a process of just listening, turning our attention downward into the gut and listen until there's a hell yes, and it's a very clear feeling, right? It's like a super sudden expansive, or the best way I've heard it described is that when you can verbally exclaim yes, then that's a yes. The rest is a no. And how that translate into to this dynamic interplay between the creative and necessity is that, oh, I just really to to trust that what I thought was creative pursuits is actually very necessity, is a real necessity for my survival of the of my best energy. Is the most creative idea come from the gut, the most durable source of aliveness, of life force, come from the gut. And if we don't take care of that life force, we are not doing the most necessary thing. We are withering inside. And so, and of course, other people can feel that too. When we are truly withering inside, we are not tapping into our greatest source of power and energy. People feel it. We are not really doing the most necessary thing for ourselves when we are not tapping into it. And so, yeah, so I'm learning to trust that gut response. And then when I that's a green light, then I'll inform people in my life, like let's say your life partner, your people close who are influenced by you in your field around you, like the way we live, influence the people close to us, right? We got to influence them because we have a very strong energy, impulse and explosion. And so we want to inform people so that they are on board, they are not too shocked, and they will be less resistant from the people closest to us. I mean, most direct example is suddenly I felt this like, hell yes, impulse to go out and go for a half-day trip, but then I had to inform my life partner that, hey, I'm going, right? Because otherwise she'll be like, what did you do? You just disappear like that. And one thing that I learned also about this this creative pursuit is that it's a very embodied sense. It's like I have a sense of imagination of the writing that I will be writing, the kind of shape, the sense of it. And then in my body, it will be cooking. And then in my body, my gut eventually would have a moment where I say, hell yes, you will do it. And then I'll do it. And it'll feel really good. If I try to use my mind to think beforehand, like, okay, let's structure this thing, I'll get very frustrated. So there's that. This is coming back, is that I'm learning to try to use ChatGPT to help me do the thinking work so that I can do the deep feeling from the gut kind of work. Because that takes energy, right? That constant bringing attention back to the deep root gut sense takes our whole attention. And that's the origin of insight. Insight come from another place, not from a cognition. Insight come from a very felt, embodied place. And so I'm thinking of using ChatGPT to, like for example, right now, right, I'm speaking this, and I have a transcript of it using author.ai, and then I'm gonna chuck it into ChatGPT and give me a summaries and or tell a story about how that works, and that will take care of the organizing principles, which I think is really good. Yeah, so that's how I'm learning, exploring with managing or mastering the dance between creative and necessity, which actually is not separate after all, right? The real creative work come from the most necessary human self-sustaining experience, come from for me from the gut. And then of course the most necessary is also the most creative. It's not about making poetry and so on, it's about making our soul coming alive. So that, yeah, let me know.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for your thought-provoking question. It's a good one, and one that I've been struggling with for a large part of my life. I will follow your prompts. My name is Joachim. I am from Belgium originally. I was born in Ostende at the seaside. I currently live, I'm not sure, I have a home base in Sofia, in Bulgaria, and I'm currently in Berlin, and I tend to hop around quite a bit. And then the fourth prompt, what do I do? That's a tough question. I'm not sure. I think it's meaningful to go back a bit. So when I was young, let's say in high school, I had to start figuring out my life, right? As the deadline of graduating high school approaches, I was faced with the question, what do I want to become? And that was the larger question of the smaller question, what do I want to study? And from, let's say, my environment and what I had been doing at school, it was quite obvious that the right choice was to study civil engineering, because I was very good at math, I was very good at sciences. Well, I was arguably also very good at languages, but that seemed to matter less where I was. And my father was a mathematics professor at the University of Civil Engineering, or I cannot remember exactly what that's called, but yeah, so he was teaching there. I entertained the thought of doing that until the very last moment. I actually passed the entrance exams, and I was on my way to signing the contract when I felt that something was wrong. And then when I was invited to reflect on that by my mother, what came up is that I actually really wanted to become a musician. I was at that time already quite fascinated by music, and I was making music just at home with like a synthesizer I had bought. And that was something I was really passionate about. And so there, that choice in itself kind of represents, I think, the core of your question. Do you want to orient yourself towards your purpose or your passion? Or do you orient yourself towards earning a living? And it was very clear for me that the path of being a civil engineer would lead to an, let's say, relatively easy life in terms of making a living, but maybe a constricted life when it comes to expressing myself, and the path of being a musician, the exact opposite. I chose to follow my heart, and I entered the conservatory to study music composition and later singing as well. And so I became a musician. My perspective on that at the time was very much, I want to follow what's meaningful to me, and I'll figure out the staying alive part later. This is obviously being a position of an immense privilege. But then I did quite well as a musician. Before I even finished my studies, I was already earning money by singing, by teaching. And when I finished my studies, I was immediately asked to become a guest professor of music composition at the conservatory where I studied. So I did that. That seemed like a good career choice, and at least it gave me some kind of income, even though that was a very, very low amount of money at the time. And then I began a career as a composer and as a singer, and I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones. I never had to compromise on my art to be able to earn a living. Most of my colleagues had to also like teach children or do other things. After a while, though, I started feeling like that particular path didn't give me the joy that I thought it would. And I think it was most related to lifestyle choices, which is interesting because that's not something I thought about when I was 18 and making this choice. And I think it's also not a part of your question, but I think it's important. Lifestyle is more like, to me, what does my life feel like every day? What is it that I'm doing? What is it that I'm attending to? And how does that make me feel? And so even though I was living a life of passion and ultimate purpose, music was my gift, music was my everything, I felt that the lifestyle that I had, living that life of passion, was pretty shitty. As a touring musician, as a singer, I felt like I was being lived. It was a very passive affair. Someone else was making all the choices for me. You eat here, you sleep here, you go there now, you do this now, now you have time to pee, now you have to be on stage, rinse, repeat. And it's a very strange kind of blur. And I'm not saying it's not meaningful, because then the moments that you are on stage with some of the best musicians in the world are magical sometimes, right? There is so much beauty and purpose in doing this. But as a lifestyle, like the everyday thing, it sucked. And there's a similar story for my work as a composer, where of course it's incredible to sit in an actual opera and hear the music you've written being performed and sung by the people on stage, with like 80 people behind the scenes making that happen. It's incredible. But the reality of it is that most of the time I was either begging someone to give me money for a project, or sitting all alone in my room for many, many, many hours, days, and months, just writing stuff on paper. And neither of those felt very joyful to me. So I had to sit down with myself and have a good conversation about that. And what came out of that was that I decided to change my life into something that felt more joyful, that I had more agency over, and that gave me more control of what I did in every moment. That was a very difficult phase of my life. And I decided in the end that the only possible path was to become an entrepreneur, as in create a business of my own. Because working for someone else was also not really a thing I desired. So I stumbled into entrepreneurship. I knew nothing about it. I kind of gave myself permission to just try something and fail. And by some mysterious stroke of luck, one of the things I did actually worked out quite well. And I was fortunate to be able to do this with a good friend of mine. And after 10 years of doing that, I felt that the company I had created was mature enough for me to step away. So I have redesigned the company and the processes and the team so as to be superfluous. And I removed myself from the equation. That happened last July. And since then, I guess I'm still trying to figure out whether I'm retired or whether I'm on some kind of a sabbatical. So I would say that right now, my life is all about purpose, or about creativity, or about bringing what I desire to bring to the world. And here's the most interesting part of all. For me, it seems like the more I was constrained by having to earn a living, the clearer I was about what my purpose was. It's like this beautiful fantasy that you're stuck in a position where you don't want to be, and then you dream like, oh, if only I wouldn't be in this position, then I could do this other thing that I think is very meaningful. But then the truth is that now that I am in a position where I'm able to purely think about my purpose, it's not clear at all. The clarity was fake, and I think the clarity was just brought to me by the constraint of actually having to work for money, which is fascinating. So for now, my answer to the question of what is my purpose is to focus on one of my projects called Relating to Self. I have a podcast. I organize gatherings and retreats. And I think it's a very beautiful and meaningful thing to do. But I don't have the feeling anymore that, like, that's the one thing, you know? When I thought of that back in the day that I was still building my business, or when I was performing as a musician, I thought of this as like, in the future, when I have all the time I want, oh, I'm going to make this beautiful thing for people to improve their relationship to themselves. But now that I'm here, it feels a lot less clear. It's more complicated than that. And I think now what I'm looking for is also much more practical. Maybe a similar kind of thing with the lifestyle choices. I think now meaning and purpose for me have a lot to do also with community, with being around people I love, with building things with others in the now, here. Maybe not so much anymore in an abstract way or in a philosophical way, but very practical. Like, what can we do to improve our lives and the lives of the people around us here, now? And I don't have answers, or not many at the moment. So I'm figuring that out. Thank you for the space. Thank you for the opportunity of expressing myself in this way. I appreciate you, Brian. I appreciate the question. And I hope this was an interesting exploration for you and for others who may be listening.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Balancing creativity with life goals, balancing creativity with work. Is it possible? I'm not sure I've figured it out yet. I think I'm a feast and famine kind of girl, an all or nothing. Either I'm so into it and I can't stop, or I can't start. It's one of those challenges, right? You want so much to be in the mood, but how can you create the right context and conditions to be in the mood? It's a struggle. Sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes there are parts of me that are so desperate to write, but I just can't, because I need to feel deeply, be moved, be touched, feel my sorrow and my soul. And that can not quite come at the o'clock that is required or desired. Balance, creativity, life goals. Not sure if I've managed. Oh, the dream to create the blocks of flow in my day, which sometimes I do until I get distracted, what come may, with an email or a call or another operational task to add to my list. I often struggle. But when the music goes on, and I can move my feet and feel my flow, suddenly I'm able to be creative wherever I go. If I feel loved and I love, I feel held and supported as to be able to emit or express what's really alive in my soul. I'm not sure if that answers your question or just confuses it to another session. I didn't intend for this to rhyme, but somehow it is. Perhaps because I'm inspired by the walk I've done all day in alignment with other people who care for nature as I do. And so the balance. I'm not sure one can balance, or I haven't found the balance between feast and famine and all or nothing. When I start, I can't stop, and sometimes I can't start at all. And I wonder whether I'll ever figure it out at all.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Hi, Brian. This is Nathan. I'm in Ohio in the States. I've really enjoyed the prompt and the story. I resonate pretty strongly with what you were saying about especially feeling lonely and isolated, and the labor and effort involved in forging and maintaining relationships. I definitely know what that's like. It's not an easy task, so I appreciate you sharing that, and you're not alone. I feel that way too, especially after the past few years. I really like the way that you framed this, and the way that you have it written out here. How do you balance the necessities of life with pursuing your life's purpose? I like this way. This is a really clever way to put it. How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life? This is something I've thought about for a long time. And actually just recently, before you even you know, sent this out there for people to respond to, was thinking about these same questions. And I think the best way for me to begin to respond is to say a little bit about what I've been thinking most recently, and then work backwards, perhaps. I, maybe about a month or so ago, decided to start writing again, writing the thoughts that I've been having, the things that I had been reading and engaging with, and all the things that sort of were floating around, but I never did it. I never shared it with anyone. I never wrote it down or kept a journal or anything like that. And it had been a few years since I'd done anything like that. I had a kid a little over 3 years ago, and I'm a full-time caregiver, and I just don't have time to do anything like that at all. But it was getting to a point where I needed to sort of let it out. It was building up too much, and I needed to sort of release some of that pressure. So I started writing again, which I hadn't done since grad school. And it was very forceful at first. I feel like there was a lot there and a lot came out all at once. And now I'm starting to look at it slightly differently. The effort for me in my life situation currently involved in finding the time to do that. Usually it's late at night or very early in the morning. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to find the time to do that and the energy to do that. That part of it aside, there's another aspect to it that I think is more relevant to the prompt, which is I'm not sure I like how it has altered my perception or the way that my relationships sort of unfold in real time. I feel like it's sort of altered it a little bit. I'm trying to think about how the best way to describe it. When my son, who's young, wants my attention, before I started writing again, I had no problem giving him my undivided attention and whatever it was we were doing. And since I've started writing, I felt like it's harder for me to concentrate. It's harder for me to focus on not just the relationship with him, but all the relationships I have. And I think it's because somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm planning how I'm going to, when I'm going to write the next thing, or what am I going to talk about? Oh, I had this idea. I got to remember it now. I'm distracted. It's sort of distracting me from the things I'm doing in my life. And it's sort of created a bifurcation between my sort of creative endeavors and my other duties. And I don't like that. I don't like that. And I'm not quite sure how to overcome that in the moment right now, but it has made me reconsider how much I want to write, and or at least the way I want to do that and to pursue these sort of creative things, like you said, while also doing the things that you need to do to live, to survive. And in my case, that also involves caring for other people. You know, I am a musician by trade, actually. I went to music school and grad school for music school, I went to grad school for music, and I performed a lot. I taught privately, private lessons. I taught at college, and I gigged a lot. And you have to do that if you want to make a living. And it is not easy at all. And I think anybody who does any kind of, you know, artistic, creative stuff like that can attest that it's very easy to burn out, and very quickly is usually what happens, because it sucks all the fun out of it, sucks all the joy out of what you're doing, because you have to do it so much. You don't have time to do it in the way that you enjoy doing it. The reason why you did it in the first place, it's been twisted into something, some sort of grotesque, monstrous thing that demands that you give it even more attention than you want to, just so that you can make a living from it. It's not enjoyable. And I actually haven't been performing for a while now, and I feel okay about it. I really do. I don't miss that too much. I do miss the creative process, but, and I think this is really one, this is a long rambling wind up. I apologize, but I think that for me, the way that I balance it is by not balancing it. And what I mean is that it's something that I try very hard to do, which is to combine these things into one thing. So there's not that separation between the creative things and other life, that it's one thing, that it's just one thing that I'm doing. I think about this a lot when I'm caring for my son or my brother who's developmentally, physically disabled. That's what I do most of the week, is care for those two people. And I have tried to find ways or to reinterpret those experiences, to look at those responsibilities that I have differently, so that it's not me just making a living or me just doing what I'm supposed to do, what I need to do, but that it's also a creative thing in and of itself. Maybe another way to come at this, I am a huge fan of Henry David Thoreau, have been for, oh man, at least 20 years now. And there have been some, you know, I'm not going to get off on a tangent here on him, but I think that there are some things that he said and written that I think describe what I'm trying to say much better than I can. So I'm just going to read one of them right now. This is from his first book, A Week on the Concord and Merrimack Rivers. He's talking about, in this section, he's talking about the poet and what kind of life that entails. And he says this towards the end: "The true poem is not that which the public read. There is always a poem not printed on paper, coincident with the production of this, stereotyped in the poet's life. It is what he has become through his work. Not how is the idea expressed in stone or on canvas or paper is the question, but how far it has obtained form and expression in the life of the artist. His true work will not stand in any prince's gallery. My life has been the poem I would have writ, but I could not both live and utter it." And that's sort of what I mean. I'm talking about the separation earlier and how I look at these things now. This has been a question I've wrestled with for a long, long, long time. And I think I'm just now getting to a point where I'm looking at it in this way, where it's not so much about finding a balance as it is about having my life and my art be one thing. As Thoreau says, it's, you know, the true poem that a poet will write is what he has become through his work. It is his life. You know, I can't both live and utter this poem. It's one or the other, sort of, you know, that if I write it down, you know, the energy going into that is a different thing entirely than what he's talking about. You know, it's not just writing things down, stuff that's gonna, you know, exist in a book form or be hung in some gallery, but it is the life that you live that is your true poem. And that's I guess where I am right now with this is, you know, when I do these things to survive, how can I do them in a way that reduces, how can I live in a way that is both creative and sort of, I'm struggling to find a way. This is a difficult thing to put into words because I want, what I'm trying to describe is something that I, you know, how can I turn my life, the things I do, into something skillful, into something creative, into something generative, into something artful. I think a lot about the Chuangzi skill passages in this regard too, you know, that you can be a butcher and do something skillfully and creative, you know, and there are ways to do the things that you do that are in and of themselves creative, generative, and not necessarily, it's a separate realm. It's something I've been, this is something I'm not even fuzzier on than everything else. I've been reading some anthropology books lately, listening to some talks, articles, essays, especially Graham Harvey, who I think he coined the term the new animism. But anyway, there's a great book I've been reading, a Norwegian philosopher, Cosmologies of the Anthropocene, or Anthropocene, however you say it. And he talks early on in the book about this, about how anthropocentrism sort of creates this distinction that doesn't really exist, sort of reifies nature and culture as two distinct spheres and realms, which I think, it was just so amazing reading this because it just, so many things clicked, you know, that this dichotomy that we're living in, right, where there's a very clear and distinct separation between everything that is nature, natural, non-human, and everything that is cultural or the human world. And his point, I think, in that is that this is not true. This is something that anthropocentrism as an ideology reinforces and creates this illusion. And it's really interesting to look at other cultures who don't make that same distinction where nature and culture are one and the same, which is a really interesting, fascinating insight. And I kind of wish I would have stumbled on this sooner in my life, but also maybe this is the right time. But I'm thinking about the question you're asking in that way too. The question I'm asking, which is the creativity versus finding material sustenance balance really the same thing as this nature culture divide? Because that's sort of what I'm thinking about in my life is, you know, I don't want to pursue this one thing over here and then, you know, kind of wall it off from this other part of my life. I want it to be one thing. I'm not really sure if that answers your question, but this is the kind of stuff I'm thinking about. And when you sent the prompt, I got really excited because, you know, this is the sort of stuff that I've been thinking about for a long time. It's nice to hear someone else also wrestling with these questions, you know, in real time. And hopefully something I said was interesting or helpful or something. If not, I'm happy to participate. I'm happy to send you my thoughts, and I'm excited to see see what you do with it all. And hopefully you have an even better answer and come up with a good solution. So I'm eager to hear what you have to say about it too. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to my prompt and to the first 7 responses that I received to this prompt. I want to thank each of the people who contributed a response for being so honest and open and generous. So thank you to Nassos, Romeo, Jay, Quien, Joachim, Nicole, and Nathan for your responses. And I'm still accepting responses, so if you would like to submit one, or if you are not on this episode, don't worry, you will be released. And so I'm still excited to be receiving responses. You can submit those at briancam.com/record, and I will be releasing those in probably slightly shorter chunks going forward. And although on this episode I've talked about my struggles socially and financially, I also wanted to take the time to thank listeners and people who have contributed responses, people who have given me feedback or encouragement, and also people who have provided financial support through Patreon. So specifically, I want to thank my patrons in chronological order. Thank you, Catherine, Isabella, Patricia, Zarina, Krista, Peter, Jake, Gloria, Randy, Harry, Anton, Brad, Jared, Maggie, and Brecht. It really means a huge amount to me that you've supported my creative work and both the podcast and the book that I'm working on. And if you would like to support me on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/BrianCam, where I post everything I'm up to, including some additional content, which is mostly writing. So thank you again for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you soon.